Hare Krishna. Today is what, 2nd July, na? 2nd July, Wednesday. 4th July, sorry. Today is Wednesday, 4th July. So, there was one cricketer, tennis player called Arthur Ashe. You heard about him? When we were children, na, small children, he was a top tennis player like Roger Federer today, Rafael Nadal and all those people. So, Arthur Ashe, he won the Wimbledon many times. And before that also he was very famous many years. Finally he won Wimbledon many years. And then after he retired, after many years, he became 60-70 year old and he got cancer. Now Arthur Ashe getting cancer is a big thing, no? Like Arthur Ashe got a cancer. So some reporters met him. He said, did you ever feel that, what did you do for getting cancer? Did you feel like that? So he told a long story to the reporter. He said he just told whole of his life, some important events of his life. You know? And all the events were very good events. Like he was taken into a local county group of tennis. He was selected as a member. Then he was taken into state level group. Was promoted because of his playing. Then he went to national level tennis team. Then he went to international tennis team. Then he qualified by his ranking for Wimbledon, first Australian Open, American Open, Australian Open, and so many European Open. And then he became world champion, Wimbledon champion. So he said, for all these wonderful occasions of my life, I never asked God, why me only? So when he gives concert to me, why should I ask, why me only? It never prompted me to ask, when I become Wimbledon champion, why out of so many people struggling in tennis in all over the world by ranking, struggling so much, practicing throughout the year, why God, you chose me only as the champion? So it's like that. When you think that you get a misery, you only think of that misery only. You don't think anything else in life. That is why the thought comes. So it is said, when you get any misery in life, count on your blessings that you have received in the past in your life. And you will find so many that you will find it is okay, you know, it's alright to have one misery in between. But that time I never thought, why me only? When you got admission in MBBS, so many people are struggling to get admission in MBBS. You got it, you didn't say, why me only? You didn't say that. You got admission in Ophthal, you know, post graduation. You never asked God, God, I have come to you on Monday morning, why me only? Why me? Why not him or her? He all struggled so much. You didn't think like that. When you got a beautiful wife, you didn't ask, why me only beautiful wife? Why not? You don't ask that. Why? No, we think like this because when good things happen, we think that we deserve them. So we don't think that we should ask a question. Suppose somebody gives you 1 crore rupees, you will not ask a single question to him. So why me only? Give me first. As it is coming to me, I must be deserving it. So please give me. I will not ask question anything. Let me enjoy it. But 10 rupees from my pocket go away. In the train, you will feel why it went away. Why should this happen to me? It's my hard earned money. Everybody's money is hard earned. Nobody's money is like that. Because we think that all good things happening in our life, it is my credit. I deserve it. It's a false ego actually. That's why we ask this question. When we when we get misery, we think that, no, it shouldn't happen to me. Only good things should happen to me. And all the bad things are not meant for me. Somebody else deserves it. That's why we ask question. But humility means that when bad things happen, you consider that, yes, I must be deserving it. That's why it has come to me. When good things happen, gratefully we thank the Lord. Thank you very much. But we don't thank the Lord when good things happen. We only ask questions when bad things happen. There is a difference between devotee and a non-devotee. A devotee means when bad things happen, he feels we good. One more bad karma is nullified. And when happiness comes, he thinks one good karma is nullified. One good karma's fruit has come and I have enjoyed it and now I lost one good karma from account. So devotee always thinks other way round than a non-devotee. It always thinks positively. Close karo? Close. So, Is that okay? Answer. It's a beautiful story, huh?
But how to punish? That time you become very depressed.
That is why we have to remain in the company of devotees constantly and consistently. Suppose you are in the regular company of devotees in all the changing conditions of life, happiness, sorrow, so-so, non-so-so, normal, whatever. And then in that constancy of association, one day a bad thing happened. The association that we have constantly will help you to ponder and to think, to give you insight within the whole thing. What we do is we generally, people don't have association. They only have their life of sense gratification. And as long as happy things are going on, they are also lost in that, completely immersed. They don't want to ask anything, just go on enjoying. And it's interrupted by one bad thing, then even you don't want to wake up and ask you why this, why that, you know. That is a routine way of thinking, which is not good. But life will give you bad experiences. In fact, life will give you more bad experiences and less good experiences. You know what Tukaram Maharaj says about it? Tukaram Maharaj says, Sukha Zava Padi, Dukha Parvata Ayodi. Meaning, Zav, you know Zav, that is barley. Barley seed, you know how much small it is? So, flex seeds. So much small. To attain that much of happiness, one has to bear mountain-like sorrows. Again, once you enjoy that much of happiness, again you have to undergo mountain-like sorrows. That is our life on earth for human beings. Swargaloka, the demigods are simply enjoying, and they have only two miseries, that is birth and death. That is, old age is there, but it's not manifested in the body, like, you know, grey hair and wrinkled face and diabetes and hypertension. You know, Indra is going to some Ashwini Kumara, say he has chronic hypertension. So latest medication in Swarga is like this, take this now, do this test. There is no disease in Swargaloka. There is no urine and stool in the body of Swargaloka. It's only happiness. But why it is condemned? Because birth and death is still existing there. It is going to end someday. That so-called beautiful happiness of no urine, no stool, no pus, no blood, no whatever secretions of the body which you don't want to see also. It's like, not good. They are not dead in the bodies of Swargaloka. No toilets, no nala, no gutters in Swargaloka. No bad smell in Swargaloka. No bodies smell bad. All bodies smell one coast, that means 2.5 miles of your fragrance. Each and every body will smell for 2.5 kilometers radius of its own. And there are millions of demigods living there, so it's all mixture of all beautiful smells. Here if you go to a compact room of 50 people, you can imagine, my goodness, in the winter, in the summer season, and it is so much humidity is there, you enter in one closed compartment, na, the stink is there, na, completely. Na, lift mein jayenge, train mein jayenge, second class mein, stink, because everybody is stinking here. There nobody stinks, only fragrance is there. And this is only one course. If you go higher and higher, Swargalokas, the longer and longer range is there. The lowest Swargaloka is this much, then above, then Siddhaloka, then Tapaloka, then higher and higher, Maharloka, Brahmaloka, topmost. The physical pleasure, then mental pleasure, then intellectual pleasure, then spiritual pleasure. It's like all subtleties are there. But still, Brahma, Bhuvana Loka Punaravrittino Arjuna. This is right from the topmost of all Brahmaloka down to Patal Loka, there is repeated birth and death. So it is going to end. That's why you don't want to go there. We should be intelligently thinking about all these things. Just immediately it's very attractive. But long term, you know why is going there is bad? One reason is this beginning and ending. Second reason is there is so much of pleasure there that you easily forget God. The pain here is a boon actually. The pain interrupts you from your intoxication of happiness and brings you back to reality of life. This is not true. Till the pain comes, now we are always intoxicated. We think, wow, everything is so wonderfully made for myself. You know. Only the pain wakes you up to the reality. Then you come to know what is the reality of life. So there is no pain, so it is very dangerous. So dangerous not to get pain, only pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. And people like Indra are such people that they so much immersed in happiness that Indra is sitting in his private chamber, you know, and beautiful Apsara are dancing. What is Apsara? You can't even describe what Apsara is. Many of them are dancing beautifully, graciously, greatest of all music, you know. And he is so absorbed that a guru comes in the same assembly, he doesn't even look at them also. He doesn't notice them also. So intoxicated. And because of that he gets cursed that you lose all your power. So then Balli Maharaj becomes victorious and Indra has to lose his position and run away from the position. Why? Because he was so immersed in the dance that he was looking. He not even respected his Gurudev. And then Kubera, the richest man on the heavenly planets, his sons are drunk and they are enjoying with naked women in the forest, in the pond. And Narad Muni comes there and they are thinking, why this man has come here? What is his business here? Instead of respecting him, the ladies immediately cover themselves and go away and they still remain naked, intoxicated, thinking that why he has come here. They don't even wake up to the senses. That is the position of demigods. So much of enjoyment there. So much of, you know, sense multiplying enjoyment. That means, here we drink alcohol, after some time your senses become dull, you know, you can't even stand on your feet. You start and you can't even speak properly. That kind of beverage is available here. You drink somras in heavenly planets, your senses multiply millions of times in the capacity of enjoyment. If one rasgulla can give you X enjoyment, suppose you have a unit of enjoyment, say you get X enjoyment if you get one rasgulla here. If you drink somras, then that one rasgulla will give you millions of times more X enjoyment. Then the senses become more eligible for enjoyment. That kind of enjoying capacity is there in that beverage. So devotees don't want to go there where they will be, maybe they will forget about the Lord. They don't want to go there. It's very risky, no? Who wants to remember the Lord constantly without any interruption? If he is threatened with a moment of forgetfulness of God, he is not happy there. You know, the demigods are fully immersed. There is hardly a moment of remembrance in between. And in the range of forgetfulness, there is some moments of remembrance. When Narad Muni comes, maybe chanting on his veena, he comes there. Remember. The second thing is, why do we don't want to go to Swargaloka? Swargaloka is long life of forgetfulness and long life of sense gratification. Indriya Bhoga. And another reason why do you want to go there? Suppose we, in which flat you are staying now? How much is your... No. First floor, what is the area? Bedrooms?
1 BHK.
Before that, where you were staying? Before that? Anytime you were staying in single room? You have planned to go to 2 bedroom sometimes in life? See? I am saying. Imagine that you... It's happened to me also. Now I am staying in 2 bedroom hall kitchen. Okay? Before that I was staying in 1 bedroom hall kitchen. I stayed there for 8 years. 8 years I very nicely stayed, enjoying, no problems, content, I was content there. But today, if you tell me ki where you were content for 8 years, please go back and stay there. Can you go back and stay there? One room less now, you know. So much of luggage is now acquired and I'm used to moving around in the bigger house, you know. My hall is now such a big 200 square feet and now hardly 70 feet, 80 feet ka hall. You know. So although I was very content over there, because now I am used to staying in a bigger house, it's going to be painful for me to stay in a house which was content for me a couple of years back. So, suppose you go from here to Swargaloka. Here you are used to having a body which is passing urine and blood and stool and everything. You have all kinds of things which you don't want in the body. Your body is happening, having all those things. And suppose you go there and you get used to a body which is having no stool, no urine, no bad fragrance, no bad smell and all the places free from everything. The flowers are never getting morose, they are always bright. The flowers only blossom there. They never, you know, get, what do you call that in English? They never murjate nahi flowers kabhi wahan par. The flowers only grow there. They don't, they always remain like that only. The fruits, flowers, always they remain like that only. The body also never grows old. And you go and stay there for some number of years and then the visa ends, suppose. And you are brought back again over here. So what will you do? Before that you were happy in this body, but now you feel miserable. Can't tolerate a body which is having bad smell, impossible to bear with.
Remembrance is
there in the hard disk, in subconscious mind. That uneasiness is there. So those people who descend from Swargaloka by some, either their timing is over, that's why they come down again back to square one, or whatever, they commit a sinful activity there, that's why they are descended like by a curse. Whatever reason they come down here, they are miserable over here. Once you get used to a higher pleasure, again to come down to lower pleasure is very bad. So to have a detour on the path of bhakti, to have a detour to a Swargaloka for some time is very bad actually. Then you get miserable. Now you are used to in this body, na? You are used to living in this body. Fine, you are going on. You are not saying, today I should just die. I just hate this body so much. You know? I hate this life so much. I just end my life today only. You don't think like that. Generally, unless you are extremely psychiatric, you know, depression patient case, usually you are okay with this body. You are in fact proud of this body. You decorate it so much, you know, you paint it so much, and you make it, try to make it so much beautiful and all these things. We are attached to it. And once you give it up and you go to a higher destination to enjoy, then you cannot accept this again. It's very miserable. That's why we don't want to go there. Because even if I go there, and even if it's multiply long life than this life, but we know it's going to end one day. What after that? Till I am there, it is fine. But when it ends and I have to come back again to square one, then it is going to be painful, na? So I don't want to do that. Our Gurudev says, you know, that there are many Indra stories, na? Indra stories come. Indra ne aisa kiya, Indra ne waisa kiya. Indra went and molested his wife, Indra went and molested his wife, Indra went and did this. So many Indra. Indra Bhuchara is a, kya bolte na? He's a subject for Krishna's
scapegoat.
Krishna's moral giving stories ke liye Indra is a hero. Many times Indra is a poor fellow, you know. He's a surrendered soul actually. He is allowing Krishna to use himself for teaching the world in his name. Balika Bakra bana dete usko. So he says ki, we are speaking in the lecture so many bad stories about Indra. You know, Indra did this, he was lost in the dance and Guraswati came and he got cursed, lost all his kingdom, then he went running to Brahma to crying, all these things. Beware, huh? By the dint of your desires that you have here and the dint of your punya karmas that you perform here, you may have to go to that place where Indra is a temple commander. So please don't speak too much bad about it, because we may land up over there. Because devotees are generally don't do any sinful activities, because they don't eat meat, they don't drink alcohol, and they don't take any intoxication, they don't tell lies. They're supposed to. And by the way, if they are not very purely devotional, then all their good activities are turned into punya karmas. So if you are not coming on the platform of Shuddha Bhakti, then all your so-called activities will be classified into activities of punya. So if we don't complete our Shuddha Bhakti, pure devotional service in this lifetime, become perfect, then unfortunately all those will be considered as Shuddha Bhakti ke badle mein punya karmas. And punya karmas will take you where? To where Indra is commander. So it is, we have to be very careful. Here, when we perform bhakti, we have to perform bhakti with anya abhilashita shunyam, without keeping any of the desire in mind. Even if they come up, you should neglect them. You should not ponder on them, work on them. You should just say, okay, fine, desires are coming to bother me, but I should just keep it aside and try to perform Shuddha Bhakti. Only work for Krishna and purify yourself. Then we may go back to Godhead. Otherwise, there may be a detour on the way. By the way, when you go upwards, you see everything. You see Siddha Loka, Chanar Loka, Vidyadhar Loka, Chandra Loka, Surya Loka, everything you see. And if you get tempted by the way, then you will get lost, get detoured. Like we always give example, we go to Pune, we take a train, and the train stops at Karzat. What happens in Karzat? Any idea? Your destiny is go to Pune. You have some program there, some satsang is there, something 4 days. And we get down in Karzat, and the smell of vada vada is so intoxicating that you start getting 1 and 2 and 3, and you get so much lost in that the train goes, and you remain there only. So, then you have to become Karzat Vasi, not Pune. It's like that. So, banne gaye the bhakt, lekin banne kuch aur hi. This is possible. So, we have to be vigilant. We have to be very careful on the path of bhakti. Not take it for granted and not get too much attracted by worldly things like fame. Those who are not so poor, what is their desire? To become famous. Those who are very poor, they want to eat food, they want to get food and they want to somehow fulfill their basic requirement. But once your basic things are fulfilled, then you look for fame, then you look for position, then you look for authority, look for power, look for sovereignty. These are the desires of affluent people. But it's same like the people who have hunger and they want food. It's same like, it's same level. It's a different understanding, but things are same.
Well, chanting, if you don't chant attentively, then it's again taken as punyakarma.
Anything you do good without Krishna consciousness, and if you're not harming anybody, it is punyakarma. Just think logically. I'm not quoting from some scripture. I just think logically. If I am doing, taking the holy name of the Lord and I am not attentive, I am not interested, I am little naive about it, I am fool about it, not very serious about it. I think too many things about that. I think too many things about of my life while chanting. This happened, na, probably. So I am not harming anybody by chanting Hare Krishna. It's good only. It's getting good vibration. But I am attentive. I think of so many other things. Yes.
It is said if one cannot achieve Shuddha Bhakti in this lifetime,
then that is not correct, probably.
If one correct. Can, if one is unable to,
one is unable to. That is possible.
Then he is born in the devotee's family.
Yes.
In next birth.
Yes.
But you said now
the. No, I didn't. Okay. Let me clarify that. I am not making absolute statement here. If you don't stand attentively, you will have to go to Swarga only. I am not saying that. I am saying it is a danger of getting distracted. Because when you are not attentive to holy name, then other things of this world may attract you. If you are very attentively chanting the holy name of the Lord, the attractive things of the world may not attract you. You become immune to the worldly attraction by chanting the holy name attentively. Now, suppose you chant your holy name attentively in this lifetime, but somehow you are progressively going up and up and up, somehow you have not completed that thing. But your motivation is very sincere, somehow time was not enough for you and it didn't materialize that by the time you die, you have not become a pure devotee of Krishna to attain Krishna Loka. In that case, the person goes to either very aristocratic family, Srimatam, Suchinam. Suchinam is in a family of Shuddha Bhaktas or family of very rich people. Sri means either beauty or opulence or money like that, or education, Vidya. Sri means many things. And Suchinam means Shuddha, that is pure devotee of the Lord. To continue your spiritual life from where you ended in last life. Shuchinam Srimatamge, Yoga Brashta Vijayate. So that is there. So if you are progressive in your life and somehow you couldn't complete in this life, next life you begin from where you left from. And the next situation Lord gives you is favorable to continue from where you left.
But in first case, if you go to Indraloka, then it is.
How will you go to Indraloka? If you amass any punya karmas, or you get attracted to some things of the world, and to enjoy it in a better way, you go there. And also, if you are qualified to go there, then you will go there. What I am trying to say is that at any moment of time, there is a danger of getting materially intoxicated or not. This world is fully a materialistic world around you. Hardly when we are with devotees like this, you know, we are not thinking about, eating some lavish things or going some lavish things or enjoying sex life or intoxication. You're not thinking like this now. But the moment I leave you and I go out in the company of, I go to the mall for example. Maybe so many ladies are there wearing so many funny dresses and hairstyles and all. They look at you, you look at them, you know, you may get bewildered, no, at that time. So yeah, 1 minute, I'll complete his answer. So there is, because being in the material world, which is Kali Yuga, and which is less association we get here, and more materialistic company we get in the material world, so environment point of view, to sustain this world. So there are chances that we may get tempted. The chances that you may always desire, okay, I must have a lot of money, I must have a lot of power, I must have a lot of luxuries, and to even continue my spiritual life, I need so many luxuries, you know. Itna to hona hi chahiye, you know, without that, you know, what's the use of becoming a doctor, yeah. This kind of thoughts come to our mind. We feel we deserve much more than other people deserve in the material world. And also we do good things, we serve patients free of charge, and some saint comes to give free service, some poor fellow comes to give free service, and all. So you amass a lot of good karmas, no? If you do not nullify them by Shuddha Bhakti, then you will have to come back to enjoy the fruits of good action also. And some of them will deserve enjoyment in Swarga Loka. Some of them will enjoy good action, good enjoyment here also. One lifetime na creates many kinds of karmas. Bad karma and good karma. Then good karma to be enjoyable here, good karma to be enjoyable there. Bad karma to be enjoyable here, bad karma to be enjoyed in Narak Loka. Or bad karma to be suffering in the animal body. So one lifetime of an account of good and bad karma can lead you to many places only as a result of those group of activities. It's very complicated. One lifetime of good and bad activities will lead you to many places for enjoying and suffering those reactions of good or bad activities. That is why Anya Bilashita, Anya Bilashita Shunyam, Jnana Karmadi Anavratam. You have to concentrate on that. If you have a mistake also, I don't want to go in a higher materialistic situation to enjoy or to Swarga Loka. Anywhere I don't want to go. I want to only come to you, Krishna. That's all. Unless you cultivate that desire very strongly, it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen by the way. You have to be working hard for that. Yes, please. Something you are saying?
In this connection only, I was reading in Mahabharata, like Krishna Devan, when the Pandavas, when Arjun comes to know that Krishna has left this world, so they also leave, hand over the kingdom to Parikshit Maharaj, and then they go north, in the northern direction. And then, you know, one by one, first Draupadi fell, falls, and then. So, ultimately, when Yudhishthir Maharaj is taken, he also sees the hell.
Yeah.
So, something in this connection only. Because
yeah.
of
no.
little sinful.
No. The reason behind it is that Krishna told him to tell a lie.
Yes.
In the war, Krishna told him that you tell that Ashwatthama is killed. It's the only way we can kill Dronacharya is to talk like this to him, and he'll get completely smashed. He'll get completely lose all enthusiasm to fight, and he will be dying. So Yudhishthira said, No. I am well known in the whole world as a truthful man. You know, Satya Vachani, my whole world only believes in me. So he said, Krishna wanted to actually teach him that your sense of morality is lower than the principle of bhakti, than dharma. What is required now is not your morality. You're required to kill Dronacharya now. You wanted to teach him that you are so attached to your being truthful. It is a hindrance to your bhakti. So he said, no. He said, okay, then you say one thing that I don't know whether it is human being or elephant. He told Bhima, go and kill an elephant. Now at least you can tell, no? Narova, Kunjurova. Naro means either it is man or human or elephant, I don't know. And then he agreed. And Krishna, because Dronacharya said that, Bhima, I don't believe you, because you are always eager to tell lies. You know? I will believe only Dharmaraj if he says yes. So then they come to Dharmaraj. Bhima is like shouting right from beginning. Arjuna ji killed Ashwatthama, he is shouting everywhere. Ashwatthama was killed, Ashwatthama is killed, Ashwatthama is killed. Ashwatthama hato. So when they went in front of Dronacharya with Dharmaraj, Dharmaraj said, Ashwatthama hato, Ashwatthama is killed. Narova Kunjurova, whether man or elephant, I don't know. When he said that, Krishna blew conchal very loudly. And that Narova Kunjurova statement, he could not hear. But because of the hesitance of Dharmaraj to tell lie for Krishna's sake, he had to see hell. Not because he told lie, he never told lie. But it is told by that, even if you are truthful, if that truthfulness is not meant to serve the Lord's purpose, the truthfulness is useless. The truthfulness is binding to the material world. Your virtues in this material life, there are so many virtues, I know, being truthful, being loyal, being swaminister, there are so many good virtues. All these virtues are valuable till the point they help you to become better Krishna conscious or to serve the Lord's purpose. And if any time your virtue comes in between, your attachment to your virtue comes in between you and Krishna, you and the Lord, then it binds you instead of freeing you. So all the virtues have value in them in themselves till the time they are in service to Krishna. When they are not a service, for example, all the lifetime Dharmaraj's virtue of truthfulness was very useful to serve Krishna. But at this point Krishna wanted to teach him. It has to serve the supreme purpose all the time. Then for that reason he had to see hell before going. So nobody is spared here, by the way. Huh? No karma is spared. Each karma, if it remains, it has to be either punished or awarded. And you have to nullify it by the power of your Shuddha Bhakti. And Shuddha Bhakti has to be acquired by all of us individually. We have to work hard for that. To convince Krishna enough that he will bless us with that. Again, we are not going to achieve it ourselves. We are going to work hard for it and convince Krishna that, yes, I deserve it. I want it. Then if he feels all right, he will bestow that upon us, Shuddha Bhakti. And this life is meant for achieving Shuddha Bhakti. Whether we are a doctor or a householder, poor or rich, beautiful or ugly, rich or poor, whatever we are, whatever famous we are in our profession, very highly advanced or a junior or a new person, whoever we are, whatever position we are, the goal of life for a newcomer, a middleman and a highest advanced personality is same. That is to attain Krishna's mercy. Now Bharat Maharaj, it is said that he was so much close to Krishna actually. This much only, he was in Bhava Bhakti, very little achievement was remaining. But because he neglected some things, vigilance, he had to fall down and become a deer, but to speak of again a human being. As per that shloka, na, Suchinam Sumatam, he should have at least taken a birth in some other family, but he had to become a deer because of little negligence. So, constantly one has to be vigilant. Even if you feel, I am so advanced now, I cannot fall down. If you think like that, na, you will and we will fall down 100%. So, till you attain the perfection and the final stage, we cannot relax. It's like, just 5 minutes away. You can see the destination. And now you relax over here. No, it's not allowed. You have to continue. You can relax only when you reach destination. Then you can relax. Till then, you can't be peaceful. Hare Krishna. Any other question is there? There are three definitions are there which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made. Devotee means bhakta, bhakta. And another word called vibhakta. Huh? So one who is not vibhakta from Krishna is a bhakta. That is one definition. That means one who is not separated from Krishna, not detached from Krishna, not separate from Krishna, is a devotee of the Lord. That is one definition. The three definitions made by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord himself, is like this. He said, a person who chants the holy name of the Lord even once with great love and attention is a devotee of the Lord. And the next year he made a statement that a person who is initiated in the holy name of the Lord and who constantly chants the holy name of the Lord is a devotee of the Lord. He chants the name of the Lord constantly. When he is chanting the name 2 hours in the morning, that is time he thinks about him 100%. But even while getting up, sleeping, talking, eating food, doing his work, he is always thinking of the Lord. That is a devotee. And the third definition he made of the next year, he said that whomever you meet, by meeting him, you feel like chanting the holy name of the Lord. He is a devotee of the Lord. That's a beautiful definition. It's like your appearance and maybe your being, your presence, your so many things are there. Aspects of your being are there. Just your being inspires other person to chant the holy name or to think of Krishna or to induct you into Krishna's thought process as a devotee. So you have to be one of those people. And then there are more elaborate descriptions about who is a devotee, who always serves the Lord, who follows regulative principles of Shuddha Bhakti, who is anukul to Krishna, anukul in the Krishna Anushidhanam. He is always favorably predisposed to Krishna and his services. His life is such a way predisposed favorably that whatever he does is always in service to Krishna. Directly or indirectly, knowingly or unknowingly, is always favorably predisposed to Sri Krishna. He is not attached to anything but Krishna. Things come in his life, money comes, fame comes, everything is there, fine, but he is not attached to them as something of his. If fame comes, it's fine, he is not so bothered about it. If fame doesn't come also, he doesn't mind. He is simply attached to Krishna. That is the devotee of the Lord. So, it is very difficult to claim that we are devotees of the Lord. Very difficult to claim. We can at the best say that we are aspiring devotees of the Lord. Aspiring Vaishnavas. Because can we say we are not Vibhaktam of Krishna? Can we say I am not Vibhaktam of Krishna? I am not detached from Krishna. There are so many moments in a day where we are not with Krishna actually. Totally forgotten Him. So many days and so many moments, so many hours maybe. Or thinking other way around. There are only few moments we are aware of Krishna. The rest of the all moments, millions of moments of life, we are not aware of Him. We are simply aware of our own pride, own prestige, own ego, own selfishness, own position, own fame. We are attached to so many things. So we have got some 10 glasses here. And 9 glasses are filled with water. Only one is filled with juice. So if you want to have juice in all glasses, first you have to empty all the glasses, no? Then only you can put juice in that. So ours, so many moments of our life are filled with so many things of life. So many things are filled. Either they are pressing you to think about yourself as a great person, or a great doctor, or a rich man, or this, or that, or somebody says, so ugly you look. So immediately your pride of being beautiful comes up, you know. What do you mean I'm ugly? Otherwise I'm okay, but if I tell you that you are bad looking, then immediately your pride comes up. So it's all deep-seated, you know. If I don't say anything about you, you are fine. But if I say you look bad today, it's like too much for you. There. So many moments, so many cups of so many moments of life are filled with so many things. Unless those are emptied, you can't fill them with Krishna. And the whole purpose of our life and sadhana is to fill maximum number of moments after moments after moment with Krishna. While seeing your patient, while cooking for your child, while dressing up yourself, while you know doing your day-to-day activities, whatever you do, number of activities you do in a daytime, whole day, filled with one after another activities, you know. We have to learn to think of Krishna at the background constantly. At least we should be aware of all those activities, why I am doing all those things. Like Krishna was, Arjuna was shooting arrows, he was aware why he was shooting the arrows. To please Krishna. Well, that's a very heinous activity, to kill somebody. Very ghastly and very aggressive activity he was doing. But that activity also he was doing in bhakti. Mam anusmara yudhyacha. Yudhyacha is a very, yudha means killing people, no? He said, mam anusmara, you think of me and do it. For me you do it. So that is the art. That is the art of bhakti. That whatever we do, even to the extent of killing for Arjuna, was meant to please Krishna. And he did everything only to please Krishna. So, come, have got prasad, huh? Take, come back. So, is it fine? His life is meant to become a devotee. Man mana bhava madhakto madhyaji mam namaskaru. His life is meant to think of him, serve him, to bow down to him, to offer everything to him, to work for him. Man mana bhava madbhakto, become my devotee. Madhyaji, worship me. Maam namaskuru, offer dandavat to me, pranam to me. Maam eva vaishya satyam te, whatever you do, you offer as an offering to me. whatever you do should be an offering to me. In this way only you will come to me. So you have to do an effort. We don't claim that it is very easy. Nobody claims that it is very easy, but you have to work for it. Even if we are not able to do any of these things, for example, by the reality of time and whatever we are in, our condition, it's just impossible thing to do all those things. But even if you have a desire, okay, I want to do this thing, my Lord. I was unable to do so, but I want to do, my Lord. He may bestow His mercy upon you, looking at the intensity of desire that you had. Without even deserving, just by the desire, by the virtue of, by the, all this, by the point of the desire that you had, intensity. Wow, the child is convincing father, 50 times he'll break his head on the ground. I want it, I want it, I want it. Father says, no, you have done wrong things, you are not deserving, I will not give you. But in the end of the night, after banging his head for the, he'll do that, na? Finally, he said, my God, since 6 in the evening till 11 o'clock, he is still banging his head, he wants it. I will not go to sleep in the night if he keeps banging the head the whole night. Let me accept his plea and let me go to sleep. Let him also go to sleep. So finally you will surrender to him. Lelo. So like that, you may not deserve, but if you really want Krishna, 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 so much you want. Finally, even if you are deserving, Krishna will say, okay, fine, I am yours. But that much intensity of desire you have to cultivate. It's like Hanumanji was lifting so many big stones, mountain peaks and mountains only he was picking up and bringing, and the squirrel was throwing only few grains of sand. But they got same mercy. As per Lord Ramchandra's statement, he said, the desire that you have to serve me, Hanumanji, the same intensity of desire she also has. So from my point of view, you deserve same mercy. So your activity may not be big. Your consciousness is important. What do you want? And how do you want it? And how much do you want it? If that is cultivated in this lifetime now, while being a doctor, while being a mother, while being a wife or husband, brother, sister, or whatever roles you are playing day-to-day lifetime, you may be successful in achieving many things or may not be able to successfully achieve many things in devotional life, for example. And you may feel, where I have reached, nothing I have done up till now. But if you have somehow cultivated the desire to attain that perfection, which you know theoretically at least, and you really want it, out of causeless mercy, Krishna may bless us. So we are in that category. We are in the category of most fallen, but we still desire that His merciful glance may be upon us. What does Narottam Thakur say? Mosama Patita Prabhu Naim Na Pai Biar. I know you are very merciful, Patita Pavan. So I have some hope that you being Patit Pavan, I will be getting some mercy from you. But even for that, you have to work hard. It's not that simply being Patit is the only qualification that he will become Patit Pavan for you. The Patit has to become, desire to become Pavan, na? Then only Patit Pavan will come and make you Pavan. Otherwise, how it is possible? But isn't it wonderful actually? Just by desiring also we will get perfection in the end. This is the Lord's arrangement. Otherwise our life is hopeless only. What, like you said, na, if you don't achieve this time, I will say that not this time, maybe next 10 times also I will not be able to complete. Maybe million times also I will not be able to complete. I don't know, because my mind is so tempting. It's like, I want this, I want that. The 1000 desires are coming to my mind. How will I focus myself and how will I not get diverted and distracted? So much of temptations are there in the world. It is so easy now I am talking to you. It is so easy for me to get detached, you know. At this moment of time, I have no desire of anything. But after some time, immediately things will pile on upon me again. But we have to constantly remain in this state. When we go to Guru Maharaj, we are at the best of our spirituality. When we go to Pandharpur, when we go to Vrindavan, when we go to Mayapur, the best spirituality within ourselves will come out and manifest itself. But when we are somewhere else, then what will happen? Best things don't come out. Worst of us come out. So when we come to a stage where everywhere, wherever we are, only best things come out. then we have some hope. Like when Guru Maharaj is there, no? Wherever he goes, he remains the same. He doesn't get affected. Others get affected by his influence, you know. So the category of the first class devotee. Wherever he goes, looking at him, people feel like chanting the holy name. That is their stage. That means they have come to a stage of not getting influenced by others' company, but to influence others by their company. When that stage is there, then it is very safe. And wherever you go, people get influenced by you, rather than you getting influenced by people. Now for that, daily you have to nourish yourself. Why we are talking about daily sadhana, daily chanting, daily attentively calling the Lord helplessly? That is the daily nourishment. When Mr. Universe become Mr. Universe, when he become Mr. Universe? And so many years, daily he slogs for 8 hours. Then his arms and his chest is qualifiable. That is, can be labeled as Mr. Universe. Unless daily for long time he will work hard, he cannot attain the position of Mr. Universe. Similarly, when we don't daily struggle and persevere to make our spiritual muscles very strong, in Krishna's eyes, you have to become Mr. Universe. Not in our eyes, the world's eyes. Okay. Any other question is there? Anybody's? I've got prasadam for you from Pandharpur. Hare Krishna.